Good morning. Good morning to all. My name is Chris Rakowski. I'm honored to be the one chosen by the Board of Counselors to host these monthly calls, the spiritual outreach calls, begun by Sheila Feilberg. And as we have passed now the midway point of the Easter season, that being last week, we are now looking, of course, towards the end of the Easter season, with Pentecost Sunday to be celebrated on May 20th. And today, we have the distinct privilege of having as our speaker Deacon Jack Shea, who will talk to us about Pentecost, the Spirit of God. A little bit of background on Deacon Jack. He was ordained for the Archdiocese of New York by Timothy Cardinal Dolan, our good friend, in 2010. Deacon Shea is Director of Religious Education for both St. John and Paul Parish and School in Larchmont, New York. He also teaches in the Diaconate Formation Program at St. Joseph Seminary. He was made a Deputy Deacon Chaplain for the Order of Malta in November 2017. Welcome, Deacon Jack, and we're looking forward to hearing your remarks.
Well, thank you, Chris. Hello, everyone. I'm happy to be here. I heard Bill Knowles call in, which is great. He's going to drive me to JFK after we're finished here, and we're going to have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel there to prepare the pilgrims for their journey. But today we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and what a great time of year to talk about it. As Chris mentioned, I'm the Director of Religious Education in my parish and also for our Catholic school. And literally in the middle of preparing about 100 eighth graders to receive confirmation. We did First Communion last weekend, and now it's confirmation. So the Holy Spirit is alive and well in St. John and Paul. I think the most important thing for any Catholic to understand and accept is that the Holy Spirit was and always with mankind. Going back to the book of Genesis, we read that the Spirit was at creation, as it says in Genesis 1, verse 2, "Now the earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the watery deep. But the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water." We know that the Spirit is life-giving. In the book of Job, chapter 33, we hear that the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. We know that the Spirit is a teacher. In Nehemiah, "You imparted your good Spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You provided water for their thirst." And of course, in the Psalms, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good Spirit lead me on level ground." The Holy Spirit empowered the figures of the Old Testament, as we read in the book of Numbers regarding Moses and the appointment of the 70 judges. "Then I will come down and speak with you there. I will take part of the Spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them, and they will bear some of the burden of the people with you, so that you do not bear it all by yourself. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to them, and he took some of the Spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but he did not do so again." And most of all, the Holy Spirit will empower Christ, as we read in Isaiah, "A shoot will grow out of Jesse's rootstock, a bud will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest on him. A spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom, a spirit that provides the ability to execute plans, a spirit that produces absolute loyalty to the Lord. He will take delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions on the basis of hearsay. He will treat the poor fairly and make right decisions for the downtrodden of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and order the wicked to be executed. Justice will be like a bell around his waist, a belt around his waist. Integrity will be like a belt around his hips." Now, while the Holy Spirit was with mankind in the presence in the books of the Old Testament, it was not yet a permanent presence in the world. So we read in Genesis, "So the Lord said, my Spirit will not remain in humankind indefinitely, since they are mortal. they will remain for 120 years. The permanent presence of the Holy Spirit will come later, on that great day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish harvest festival. Going to Luke in his Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, we have a good framework to help us understand that the Spirit is God and was with Jesus, who is also God, from conception to his ascension. When he was leaving, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." For Christians, the Spirit is revealed full force on that great day of Pentecost, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. And then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered, and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, scoffing, "They have had too much new wine." Well, all this happened after Jesus ascended into heaven. He had told the apostles that he would not leave them orphans. Jesus asked his brothers to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to come to them. And the Spirit would support them and give them what they needed to do the will of God. The Holy Spirit did come to the apostles, as Jesus had promised us. And Jesus asked us to trust him in the same way. He sends the Spirit to us first at baptism, at which we are adopted by God, and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At confirmation, similarly to Pentecost, the bishop says to the candidate, "Be sealed with the Holy Spirit." And the gifts we received at baptism are now confirmed or made stronger in us. Jesus knows that we can be weak and frightened. He knows that we don't like to do things that might make us unpopular with others. He knows that sometimes it is easier or more pleasurable to sin rather than to be good. Because Jesus is God and knows what is best for us and what we need, he gives us all the help we need to do the right things in our lives. The promise of our Almighty Father was and is the Holy Spirit. After the ascension, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles, sometimes called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit became the person of the Trinity that was with the apostles and the early Christians every day, just as Peter and his brothers received daily strengthening from the physical Jesus over the 3 years in their fellowship. The Spirit was now with them to keep them going and would be with them as long as they were on the earth. At Pentecost, the gifts received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to go forth and spread the good news to the ends of the earth. We received the gifts at baptism, and then the gifts are strengthened or confirmed at confirmation, just as the apostles gained the strength and courage and wisdom they needed to carry out the mission given to them by the Lord, we have the same benefit. It's important for us to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, as well as his presence with us every day, can only be discerned by openness to God. We have to be open to the urgings of the Spirit, We have to work at it. This requires making time for God in prayer and reading the scriptures. It is also virtually impossible for anyone to feel the action of the Spirit if one is not leading a good life, or at least trying to. Things like substance abuse, bad living, licentious behavior will cloud thinking and make it difficult, if not impossible, to listen to the Spirit. And just to review what these gifts are, is wisdom, which enables us to recognize the real value of persons, events, and things from God's point of view. Understanding, which helps us to make the right choices in our relationships with God and others. Right judgment helps us to seek advice and to be open to it. That's very difficult for me sometimes. Knowledge helps us to know the value of things through our experience. We can learn from our mistakes. Courage gives us the strength to stand up for our beliefs. Reverence enables us to love and inspect God and others. We should recognize who God is and respect Him as the loving Father that He is to us. And finally, wonder and awe allows us to recognize and respect God's greatness. For example, we should understand that God created the beautiful world that we live in and take care of it. All these are given to us so that we can live out our lives doing the will of God. God gives us all certain talents and abilities and expects us to use these to help one another. In our daily prayer, the Order of Malta, we say...
Everything's a learning experience.
Am I the only one that can hear that? In the daily prayer of our Order of Malta, we say, be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against the enemies of religion. Be it mine to practice charity toward my neighbors, especially the poor and the sick. We cannot do this unless we are open to the Holy Spirit, but with His help we will succeed. The Order of Malta has existed in many different eras over its history and faced many challenges. The times we live in now are very challenging, and the Roman Catholic Church seems to be under attack from many quarters. I believe that the Church looks to the Order of Malta for support, and we must be ready in our own individual ways to provide that support. Remember, the apostles were fearful up until the moment when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in my role as Director of Religious Education, as I said before, we were preparing children for First Communion and for confirmation. The confirmation kids will hear from Dennis Sullivan, Bishop Dennis Sullivan, our former pastor, and he will say these beautiful words, be sealed with the Holy Spirit, as he anoints them with sacred chrism. They have been taught that they have already received the gifts when they were baptized, but now the gifts will be confirmed or sealed in them. Roughly one-third of the 100 kids in our program attend our Catholic school, while the remainder attend the public schools in our area. This means that the Catholic school kids have religious studies every day. They pray and attend Mass together and receive the sacraments often. The others, sadly, perhaps have one religion class per week and do not often attend Mass. And I think this is a microcosm of the Church today. The world appears to be becoming hostile to the Church and to religion in general. We have a core group of Catholics that are devoted to the Church because we understand that the Church gives us everything we need to get to heaven. Certainly the members of the Order of Malta are part of that group. But there is a much larger segment of people who perhaps identify as Catholics but do not attend Mass, receive the sacraments, and pray, which means that their children don't either, generally. Our First Communion classes last weekend showed this clearly. The children knew how to participate in the Mass because they've been trained. However, their parents did not, and they don't because they don't attend Mass anymore. This does not bode well for the future. But you know, this is similar to what the apostles faced 2,000 years ago. They were going out into a seemingly hostile world of pagans and non-Christians to spread the good news. And other than John, they all suffered martyrdom. Yet they were all committed to spreading the word because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit was with them. We, as knights, dames, and chaplains of the Order of Malta, need to carry on their work in whatever way is possible for us in our own lives and situations. This can take many forms depending upon our circumstances. Daily prayer, for example, especially praying for the Malads by name, Malads that we know, or perhaps the Malads in spirit, for those that we know that have fallen away from the church, and certainly for an end to abortion, euthanasia, and other life-ending abominations. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, where possible, and performing the corporal works of mercy, where possible. The Holy Spirit is with us also, to guide and support us along the way. You know, in my daily prayer, one of my petitions is asking the Father in heaven to send the Holy Spirit to inspire all those whom he is calling to his service in the priesthood, the diaconate, the religious life, and the Order of Malta to listen to his call and act on it. The descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost transformed the first followers of Jesus, who had previously hidden in fear from those responsible for Jesus' crucifixion, and were unable to understand God's plan for a crucified Messiah. After the Holy Spirit's coming, they understood God's saving plan and were able to proclaim it boldly, even at the cost of beatings, imprisonment, and martyrdom. The charisms of prophecy and speaking in tongues, as well as healings and miracles in the name of Jesus, were abundantly evident. The disciples were filled with joy and continual praise, even in the face of persecution. Pope Paul VI said that today, the Spirit is likewise needed to empower Christian life and ministry, and to make it fruitful in bringing others to salvation. As Father William Kurtz, S.J., says in his great book, Acts of the Apostles, without the Holy Spirit, there are no Christians. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no church. May God bless us all, and thank you for listening. Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Well done, Deacon.
Well, thank you, Deacon Jack. He may have left the call. I'd just like to remind the rest of you that, as you heard from Deacon Jack, our pilgrimage to Lourdes begins today. If you have the spare moment in your prayers, please keep the pilgrims in mind, both the members of the order, the volunteers, and the Malads, so they can all benefit from this wonderful experience. And thank you all for participating in this experience as well. Have a great day.